A sermon on Mark 8, 27 through 38. The love, grace, and mercy of the triune God be with you now and always. I want to confess right up front that to become a Lutheran pastor, you're required to nerd out as much as possible during text or word studies. In fact, nerd out in general. Now, that's a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong. And it can also make for some high-scoring term papers and some very boring sermons. See, the trick is to balance the theology nerd fest with the breaking open and sharing of the gospel, the good news. So today, my beloveds, I'm going to attempt both. Cue the dramatic music. We're going to be a smidge wonky, and hopefully a lot more gospel-y. At least that's my intent. So let's start down a little bit in the passage that we read, like verse 31, 33. You remember where all the rebuking takes place and where Jesus calls Peter out with some pretty difficult language. See, Peter boldly responds to Jesus' question about who he, Peter, thinks he, Jesus, is. And we hear for the first time clearly Peter confessing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christos in the Greek, meaning the anointed one. I can almost see Peter, chest pushed out, standing tall, speaking in confidence, knowing that he has the answer right. But not so fast here, sport. Jesus responds, "Don't tell anyone." And that he's going to suffer many things, be rejected by all the people in all the powers of positions of power, and then be killed, only to rise again 3 days later. And Jesus said these things plainly, like they were normal. And Peter is not going to have any of that. See, those things go against everything that the Messiah has been worked up to be for generations. No way, can't have this. Jesus must be tired or hungry or hangry or something's going on, because in Peter's ears, this is all crazy talk. And here's the first rebuke. For our modern ears, the term would be like a call out or a chew out or a clap back. We don't know what was said, but we know that in turn, Jesus turns to everyone else and continues to rebuke Peter in those words that we hear in verse 33, "Get behind me, Satan." Do you hear the good news train screeching to a halt on that one? Are your eyes large yet? See, just last week, Jesus was calling a nice lady a dog. And this week, calling Peter, his closest disciple, the foundation of the future church, he's calling him Satan? Whoa. So it's what Jesus says next is where I want to freshen up on our Koine Greek a little bit, because it's where I suspect the gospel message might be hiding. The verse goes, "For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." The key word here being mind or mindset, in the Greek phronēs, from the verb phronēo, meaning to have understanding, to think, to direct, and even in some cases to observe and care for your own thoughts. Now this word is important because depending on the structure of the sentence, and yes, in fact, the person translating it, a lot can get lost. Because Greek has different tenses than English. And in this case, the word phronēs is in the tense that means happening right now, at this moment. The second key is that the word itself doesn't translate well. It means, in its Greek, one's personal opinion fleshed outwardly into action, both a visceral and a cognitive process. In simple terms, your mindset includes both what you think and also what you feel in your body. That's a lot more than just Peter thinking something. See, Jesus is telling Peter pretty harshly that even though he has the right title, he does not have the correct understanding of what that title means. This wrong understanding is akin to what Satan was trying to tempt Jesus with in the wilderness. Do you remember that? When Jesus was tempted with worldly things, satisfaction first, ego, power, and might, and then wealth and materialism. See, Peter is believing that the Messiah is to ring in the kingdom of power and might and grandeur as a king. That's what's been promised. That's what's been worked up, that the political and powerful systems of oppression would be crushed and toppled over. Peter just couldn't get his mind around a Messiah that must suffer. It was way too much for him to take in. He lost it, and hence all the rebuking that went on. But Jesus knew that his path was towards the cross, to God's will. God's mindset as your will is never embodied as in the normal course of human affairs. See, even if that is what Peter misunderstood the Messiahship to be about, that's the mindset of men that Jesus is calling out on Peter. See, Jesus is immersed in the mindset of God. If the disciples, if anyone, including us, choose to follow Jesus, then we follow him to where he is going. And that's the way to the cross. We don't get to follow Jesus and also decide where that's going to be. That's very much a stumbling block for me and for you. I find myself doing this all the time. I want to plan it and live it and take credit for it, unless, of course, it doesn't go well. Then that's all because of that other thing. Sound familiar? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I lose my job? Why do I have to be so short? Why did my marriage fall apart? Why do I have to be addicted to alcohol? Why do I work 3 times harder than the other kids at math? And on and on and on. So see, like Peter, we might have all the titles of Jesus all figured out, but it's our understanding of what deny oneself and take up your cross means that trips us up. What we want to continue to control. What Satan tried to control in the wilderness. See, the Greek here again too about denying oneself, it's been translated a lot into about self-denial, right? Like to cause your own suffering or to stand idly by as others cause you suffering. It's more nuanced than that. This deny means to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. It's not about self-denial as much as it is a call to deny the parts of yourself which get in the way of God's intent for you. To deny self in this way is to not do for yourself, but do for others. Isn't that what Jesus was doing for us on the cross? Emptying himself for our sakes, for the salvation of everyone? He's telling anyone there that day that to bear a cross is to engage in the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of heaven on earth as we've planned it. It is through weakness and death nailed to a cross that tears the veil of the temple, the very object that had been separating God from all of us for so long. And that veil is torn not out of might and power and strength, but out of selfless giving. Because God's intent was to fully enter into and reclaim the entire human experience. God with us, Emmanuel, was who Peter titled the Messiah, but who he didn't understand as the anointed. Gets me to thinking, what pieces of myself do I need to lose in order to gain my life back, to lose life as it is in the worldly realm, in order to claim it and to step fully into God's will for me? Personally, I would like to lose anxiety, fear, worry, struggle, judgment, and a tendency to overthink things. It's when those things are absent, or at least muzzled down, that I feel the most connected to others, to creation, and to God. What about you? What rebuke would you fashion for yourself to move from the worldly things to God-willed things? What are those things that get in the way of being a cross-bearer like Jesus? What are those things that bring you out of relationship with others and get you to thinking that you can do all of this on your own? See, the cornerstone of faith is that honest realization that you can't do this alone. We need both community and God. And this is also the reason you can't force faith on anyone, because faith is experienced, and God alone is the potter of that, so to speak. We have action by and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, of course, but faith itself is personally experienced, embodied, and found, only at times to be lost and then found again. However, I do believe that we need these faith experiences to happen within and around a community. Not many people come to faith alone in that sense. So much of what I see in this community of saints here at Christ the Good Shepherd, they're doing this breathing of life into this creative space where faith is constantly forming and deforming and reforming again. So yes, get behind all of us, sainted. I choose the mindset of the way of the cross. I choose this mindset because it is the more difficult and the more narrow path. I choose this mindset because it is where you and I and everyone else, where we live openly into our lives, where we can give fully into God's will for the world, God's mindset for the world, which begins and ends in the steadfast love walking alongside us, bearing his own heavy cross, Emmanuel, God with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.